Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Do remember that. Joshua 24, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. Joshua 24. The Bible said, "Now, therefore, fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you dwell. But as for me and my house," he said, "we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore we will also serve the Lord, for He is our God." And Joshua said unto the people, "Ye cannot serve the Lord, for He is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. Then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good." And the people said unto Joshua, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." And Joshua said unto the people, "Ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve Him." And they said, "We are witnesses. Now, therefore, put away," said he, "the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel." And the people said unto Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and His voice we will obey." Now, Lord, I stand in a place today, God, where I sure need your touch. I need your help. God, I need your anointing today, and I pray, God, that over the next few minutes, God, that you would illuminate our mind, God, that you would preach us in power and unction and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. I pray, God, that you'd bind every demon in hell. God, you said in Revelation that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto death. And God, we plead the blood of Calvary over the service today, over the preaching today. God, may your will and way be done. God, I pray, God, that if there's any here lost, God, that you'd save them. Any here out of your will, bring them close to you today. Help us, oh God, today. God, we'll be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to look into these verses and just give you a little thought today about choosing to serve the Lord or making up your mind. Whatever title you want to put to it, you can. I remember years ago, before I ever took Amazing Grace Baptist Church, Mom and Dad bought a little piece of property up in Low Gap. And I remember there was a guy by the name of Randy Lowe came up there, and he cut some trees off of that property. And I asked Dad, I said, "Why are you cutting those trees?" And he said, "Well, if we cut those trees, we can stand here in the backyard and we can look at Fisher's Peak." And I said, "Well, that sounds like something neat to look at." And he got done cutting those trees, and sure enough, at the time, I didn't even know what Fisher's Peak was. And sure enough, you could see what is called Fisher's Peak. Ever since then, I've heard people talk about Fisher's Peak. I've heard people talk about the beauty of being on top of Fisher's Peak and looking off of Fisher's Peak. And I've drove by Fisher's Peak I don't know how many times over the past 20 years. Whenever I would drive by that, I would look up on it, Brother Lloyd, and I would think this, man, I bet the view from up there is absolutely beautiful. One of these days, I'm going to hike to the top of Fisher's Peak, and I'm going to see what the view is like from Fisher's Peak. We've talked several times, me and different ones in the command staff at the sheriff's office, about driving to the top of Fisher's Peak, because you can drive up there if you've got a key to go in and looking at it. Well, here about a month ago, a lot of you know that I love to exercise. I love to hike. I love to run. I love to bike. And here about a month ago, I woke up one morning, and here's what I thought in my mind. Today is the day that I'm going to stand on the top of Fisher's Peak. So I put my bicycle on the back of the truck. I went to Cumberland Knob. I parked at Cumberland Knob. I got on my bicycle, and I took off to go to the top of Fisher's Peak. Here in about an hour from that, I was at the top of Fisher's Peak, and I stepped out on that great big rock ledge. If you've ever been up there, you understand what I'm talking about. And I looked over the vast beauty that was there. Matter of fact, I had went through the clouds and was on top of the clouds. Brother Elijah and I was looking at the picture yesterday, and from there you could look across and actually see Pilot Mountain sticking up out of the clouds. At that moment, I was living where everybody else was just looking. Can I just say that again? At that moment, I was living where everybody else was just looking. I had talked about it. I had wondered about it. I had wondered what it would be like to go there and to see it from there. But at that moment, I had reached that place. Can I say something to you today? There is a lot of people looking at where very few are living at today. Can I just explain it this way? The victorious Christian life, there's a lot of people that talks about it. There's a lot of people that wonders really what it's like. But there is very few people that ever reach the peak and is able to live where everybody else is looking at. I began to think about what the Bible said in John chapter number 10 and verse number 10. He said this, he said that we could have life and we could have it more abundantly. When you study that word abundantly out, it means in the sense of beyond. It's a superabundant in quantity and superior in quality. Can I say something to you today? When God saved us, if you're here today and you're saved, He just didn't save us to keep us out of hell. Now, can I say today, yes, thank God I'm not going to hell. That is a great benefit of salvation. You say, why did you get saved? I didn't want to go to hell. That's the reason I got saved. Amen. But since I've been saved, I have learned that, boy, there is a whole lot more to this thing than what I really realized the day that I got saved. Jesus just didn't come to give us life, but church, He wants to give us life more abundantly. In other words, in the sense of beyond, a superabundant in quantity and superior in quality. Hear me today, we don't have to walk around with our heads bowed down. We don't have to walk around in discouragement and depression and despondency. Jesus came to give us life, and not just to give us life, but to give us life more abundantly if we'll only start living where everybody else is looking. He talks about the Christian life. He says that it can be a blessed life in Ephesians 1. It can be a victorious life in 1 Corinthians 15. It can be a spirit-filled life in Ephesians 5. Many Christians live in the old song, and they say this, on Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye towards Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. You know what a lot of people do that saved today? They look towards the victorious Christian life. You that knows the Word of God knows that Canaan's land is not a type of heaven in Joshua. It is a type of the victorious this Christian life. And a lot of people, all they do is cast an eye that way, but they never live where everybody else is looking. You know what Joshua says? Joshua says to the people of Israel, I want to encourage you to start living where everybody else is looking. Can I say something to you again today? God's will for your life now that you're saved is to not walk around defeated all the time and to not walk around in discouragement all the time. Hey, we serve a great God that saved us from hell, and not only saved us from hell, He wants us to have a life that is more abundant today. I thought about this. Joshua in chapter number 24, I'm headed somewhere, stay with me, calls the people to make a choice. He calls them to make a choice. Now, I know what many would say today. I hate making decisions. I'm not going to make a decision. I'm bad at making decisions. Listen to what I'm fixing. I've had so many people say this. I'm just not going to make the decision. But the truth of the matter is this, you just did. Can I just say that again? You just did. You see, when you decide not to make a decision, guess what? You made a choice. You made a decision. Is anybody hearing the preacher today? It's really not that hard. You know, we complicate things so many times. So many things are so simple. I'll give you an illustration of myself. The other day, I sent Brother Dustin a message, and I said, hey, are you around your shop? And he said, no, I'm not. He said, it'll be later tonight. I can meet you over there in the morning and help you. And I was working on a weed eater. And man, I had beat on that thing. I had worked on that thing. I had talked in tongues to that thing. Are you with me? I didn't cuss it, but if you'd have wrote the words down, I'd have signed the piece of paper. No, I wouldn't have. I told him. I said, okay. I said, I'll get up with you in the morning. I hate directions. Every man in here say amen. So I did not get the direction book out, but I did go to YouTube. And you know what, Brother Stan? When I went to YouTube, it was so simple. It was so simple. He asked me a while ago. He said, did you get that weed eater fixed? And I told him, and he just kindly laughed. It was so simple. Can I just say something to you? Life really is simple. Living an abundant life, it really is simple. And he calls them to make a choice. You see, you may say, I'm not going to make a choice, but you're making a choice and not making a choice. He reminds them of some things. Look at this. Stay with me. I'm headed somewhere. He reminds the children of Israel of the pleasures of serving God. Can I say that again? The pleasures of serving God. Can I just say that again? The pleasures, the joy, the happiness of serving the Lord. It really is a joy to serve Jesus today. It really is happiness serving the Lord today. Several months ago, matter of fact, it's a little bit over a year ago, we woke up one morning, and I'm trying to think, it was like a Thursday morning or maybe a Friday morning, our first morning that we woke up in Utah. And where we were staying at, we was way up and could look over the plain or look over the valley and back up on the snow-capped mountains. And we walked out there. The church that I was at, there was a couple in there that was allowing us. They had a big apartment in the bottom of their house, and we were staying there in it. And, man, I walked out and looked at it, but then I pulled the curtains back or the blinds back, and it was a great big picture window, and we could sit in the living room of the house and look out over the beauty of God's creation. Man, it was just beautiful. And I looked at Olivia and Victoria. They was with us, and I said, Livy, I said, man, that sure is beautiful, isn't it? She said, yeah, Dad, it sure is. I said, you want me to tell you the reason that we're here today? I said, we're here today because God allows us to serve Him. God called your daddy to preach, and God has allowed your daddy to come out here and share the gospel. That's the reason we're here. You know what? In just a few weeks, we'll get on an airplane, and we'll go to Mexico, and we'll spend 8 days in Mexico. And let me tell you the reason that we're going to do that. It's because one day God saved me, and God called me to preach, and God put me in a church that loves missions and will allow us to go to the mission field. It is a joy to serve Jesus. It's a joy to serve Him. Can I just say this to you today? It's a joy to open the Bible and read. I'm headed. I may get there and I may not. It's a joy to serve the Lord. You say, well, preacher, I agree with you. Well, why don't you notify your face when you come to church? Choir, why don't you notify your face while you're singing in the choir? Man, it is a joy. He saved us from hell, but He not only saved us from hell, look at what He's doing now. He reminds them of the pleasures of serving the Lord in verse 12 and 13. He said this, and I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites. He goes on to say, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow, and I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them of the vineyards and the olive yards which ye planted not to eat. What he does, can I say this to you? He reminds them of the pleasures of serving God. He reminds them of this. There is a liberty from the oppression of Pharaoh and the gods or the kings of the Amorites. He reminds them that they're no longer under the bondage of Pharaoh. Maybe you'll get it in a minute. They're no longer under the bondage of the two kings of the Amorites. You know what he's saying? He's saying this. There was a day that you lived in bondage back there in Egypt. There was a day that Pharaoh was your Lord that told you what to do. Oh, but now Christianity, it's not bondage. It is liberty. I am free from the bondage of sin. I am free from the bondage of Satan. I am free from the bondage of this world. And when I look back at the liberty that the Lord has given me, it makes me say, it is a pleasure to serve the Lord. It's a pleasure. He reminds them of the pleasure. There is a liberty from Pharaoh. You may be here today and, oh, I'm trying to go somewhere. I don't know if I'm going to get there. You may be here today and you're wound up and you're tightened down and you are held in the bondage of this world. I've got real good news. Jesus is passing by and He'll free you from that. Matter of fact, John 11, y'all know, I'm not going to take time to go into it. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is verse 35. Jesus wept. What did He say? Here's what Jesus said. Loose him and let him go. You see, when Jesus calls you from the dead, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses of sin. When He calls you from the dead, the world, the things of this world, the bondage of this world, you want me to tell you what He'll do for you? He'll set you free. So many today think Christianity is a bondage today. No, friend, it's liberty. It's liberty. He reminds him of the pleasures of serving the Lord. Because the liberty from the oppression of Pharaoh. But what about this? Because the land that they possessed. He talks about the land that they're possessing now. You know what he talks about? They're eating grapes from vineyards they didn't plant. They're eating olives from olive yards they didn't plant. You know what he's reminding them of? For 40 years, they'd been wandering around out there in the wilderness as nomads, not having nowhere to call home. Oh, yes. But thank God they've made it to Canaan now. And what he has reminded them is this. Thank God there is a place that we can land at. There is a land that we can enjoy. I'll just say this to you today. I'm living on the blessings that somebody... Hey, can I say it this way? I'm reaping things that I didn't even sow. I'm reaping. I didn't start Amazing Grace Baptist Church. Junior Easter did. But boy, here we sit today. Here we sit today. There's a land that they possess now. I'm glad that this land is not my eternal abode. I'm glad that I'm headed to a land far, far away one day. Think about this. He's just reminding them of the pleasures of serving the Lord. Not only the liberty from the oppression, but the land they possess. But what about this? The living at the expense of God. The living at the expense of God. Again, he reminds them, you're eating grapes that you didn't sow. Or plant. You're getting things. Can I just say this? Let me tell you the reason there is some food in your cupboard this morning. Well, bless God, it's because I went to work this week, and I worked, and I got a paycheck, and the wife went down to the grocery store. Who woke you up to go to work? Can I just say that? Who woke you up to go to work? Who gave you the knowledge to do what you do? You say, well, I got it myself. I went to school. I done this. I done that. No, within yourself, you're dumber than a box of rocks. You might as well holler, amen. And within ourselves, we could do nothing. But the good God of glory was the one that gave you the knowledge that you have to do what you do. He's the one that woke you up this week. He's the one that let you have traveling grace to get to where you was going. He's the one that let the company have money in the bank to write you a check and it not bounce. I'm telling you, everything that we have today and everything that we ever will have, it comes from the hand of an almighty God. We're living at his expense. We're living at his expense. It's all because of him. It's all because of him. I can't go into the store. I just can't. Don't ask me afterwards. I'm not going to tell you about it. I told my daddy about it. You ask him, he ain't going to tell you because he done forgot. About 2 weeks ago, something happened. I called daddy and I said, hey, I want to tell you about something. He said, all right. I sent him a picture first. And he said, well, this, and this. I said, okay. A couple days went by. I said, hey, I need you to go on a trip with me. He ended up having to have that gallbladder surgery. He said, I can't go with you. I said, I don't want you to. I said, the ride will be rough. I don't want you to go. I said, well, I'm going to send you some pictures. And I sent him some pictures of some things. And here's what he said to me. Whenever he finally was able to meet me in person and we looked at some things and walked around some things, he looked at me and he said, son, I'm going to tell you something. I said, oh, all right. He said, big old tears swelled up in his eyes. He said, it really does pay to serve God, don't it? He said, it really does pay to tithe, don't it? He said, it really does pay to give to world missions, don't it? He said, I know you and your wife do that. And he said, you want me to tell you what this is? This is God showing you that he's not forgot about you. It really does pay to serve him, don't it, son? And me and my daddy stood there for a little while and just cried and shouted on the blessings of God. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. Joshua, when he calls them down to make a decision on what they're going to do, he said, let me just remind you of the pleasures of serving God. He said, I'm still in the introduction. He said, Let me remind you, and I'm watching the time, let me remind you of the pain of not serving God. Now, you had your time to shout. You're probably not going to shout now. Let me remind you of the pain of not serving God. Know what he said? Look in verse 20. He said this, if you forsake the Lord, somebody needs to hear me preach this morning. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after he hath done you good. And what he said? He said, hey, boys, you better listen up. Joshua said, hey. He probably said something like this. Ain't nobody said bow your head and close your eyes. It ain't praying time, it's preaching time. You better listen. Joshua says, hey, everybody, you better listen real good. That same God that blessed you is the same God that'll correct you. That same God that's been good to you is the same God that'll chastise you. It's what he's telling them, man. You know what it is? It's Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And he says, before you say, I'm going to serve God, you need to remember the pleasures of serving him. But you better take into consideration the pain of not serving him. Dr. Percy Ray said this, Miss Tanya, come to the piano. He may have had a piano player named Tanya. I'm going to be kind. If he did, he had a good one. I mean, he had a good one. She loved the Lord and loved her husband, loved her pastor, beat her kids. Watch this. Dr. Ray said this. You've heard me say it before, but here's what he said. He said, God will not make you live for him, but he'll make you wish you had him. He'll make you wish you had him. God's not going to make you serve him. I wish you'd hear the preacher this morning. He's not going to make you serve him. But I promise you there'll come a day he'll make you wish you had him. If you're his child, you're not going to live your life any way you want to and get by with it. If you can, if you can live your life any way you want to and nothing ever happens, this is Scripture. The Bible says, then we are bastards and not sons. That's exactly what the Word of God says. Say, preacher, you're saying it. No, I'm telling you what the Bible says. It's time we get back to biblical terminology. He says we're bastards and not sons. You know what he says? He says this, you've never been saved. You've never been saved. Saved. I know I'm saved. I hadn't even got to the message. That's the introduction I wrote down this morning. I got 8 pages in my message. I ain't even got to it yet. I know I'm saved because, number one, I was there when it happened. Can I just say that? I remember it. This week on Tuesday, I'll teach in the North Carolina Sheriff's Chaplains Association on character and ethics. And in the beginning of that lesson, I have my testimony. There'll be 60 or 70 chaplains from all over North Carolina at it. And the very first thing that you need to know about me is this: I'm saved. Amen. I make no apologies to say that I'm a Christian, that I believe in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way to get to heaven. Somebody ought to give me a witness right there. He is the door and there is no other way. I was there July the 20th, 1994, when I got saved. I know I'm saved because of that. But let me tell you another reason I know I'm saved today. Because I'm going to tell you something. When I do something wrong, I'm telling you, Brother Elijah, it no more than happens. God goes to beat me in the back of the head. they sometimes, I can look at somebody the wrong way. And God goes, atta boy. Boy, that's a Christian way. Atta way, preacher. You say, what do you do? Well, if you want any peace, you make it right. I know I'm saved because of the correcting hand of God. Joshua reminds them, he's calling them in to make this decision. Are you going to serve God or not? Are you going to go with him or not? And he said, what you need to remember in making this decision is the pleasures of serving God. The pleasures. Tell me a time he ain't been faithful to you. Tell me a time he ain't been. You ain't going to tell me no time he ain't been faithful to you. He's been there every time. As a matter of fact, he's been there at times you didn't even know he was there. God's probably detoured you around more storms than you've ever went through. Can I just say that? He's probably detoured you around more storms than you've ever went through. It is a pleasure to serve him, but there is a pain that comes in not serving him. If you're really his child, he's going to correct you. So here's what he says to him. Choose you this day who you'll serve. Are you going to serve the little G-O-Ds that was on the other side? Or are you going to serve God? So I want to ask you a question today. Who are you going to serve? You know what we need today? Say, preacher, man, our church has been just practically living in revival this whole year. Church has grown. We've paid a bunch on our building, done more missions than we've ever done, supporting more missionaries than we've ever supported, looking at taking on probably 8 or 10 more missionaries over the next several months if God continues to bless. I understand all that. But I wonder what would really happen if everybody that's saved just sold out. I thought about this morning. I'm right now done. But I thought about this morning. Brother Justin, I thought about this. What if for the rest of the month of October, everybody in this building that's saved, probably 98% of you, 99% of you has social media in some way, shape, or form. And you know what I found funny about some people? They don't have it, but they use their spouses to look at it. Somebody give me a witness right there. I ain't going to call no names, but I could. But I wonder. They say, I don't have it, but you send them something. And they respond back, man, that's good. Well, if you don't have it, how'd you watch that? You know, the preacher might have just been fishing right there, and he caught something. Watch this. If we turned every bit of it off and took that time and prayed and asked God to save our loved ones and asked God to mold us into what we need to be, I wonder what would happen. Let me tell you what would happen in America if every person that saved done that. I promise you we'd see a nationwide revival. I'm telling you, we would. There's no, you want a prescription for it? I'll just give you one. Now you that don't have it, the time that you're spending watching TV, the time that you're spending doing the things that you do, whatever, reading a book, whatever it may be, if we just cut it off and we said, God, I'm choosing you. Here's my life. I'm giving you everything. I'm giving you everything. He says it's time to make a decision. I wish I had time to preach what I got wrote down up there. Choose you. Choose you. There's some that's not going to choose him. And that's the reason he says, It's personal. You got to do it. Boys, y'all got a good mom and daddy. Question your mom every once in a while, but question your dad every once in a while. I don't know if there's any hope. No, I'm just speaking. Y'all all got good parents that loves the Lord, that comes to church. They've never held you back from serving God. They push you to serve God. And that's great. But the truth of the matter is this. One day, you're going to be out of their house. And you're going to have to decide then. Is mama's God good enough? Is daddy's God good enough? Have you seen God bring through mom and daddy enough that and you've seen them praise him enough and them give him the glory enough that when you walk away from their house, you're going to decide, as for me. As for me, it's personal. And Joshua further explains that to us. I'm trying my best to hush. But Joshua further explains that to us because he says this. As for me. You see, Joshua couldn't lead his house to serve God until he chose himself to serve God. He said, as for me, number one, me, and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You know what Joshua is saying? If my house goes with me, I'm going to serve God. But if they don't, I'm going to serve God. Did you just catch that? As for me, when we look back at what God has done, I said this last Sunday night. We are living today in the answered prayers that we prayed several years ago. It's what we're living in. Some of you are sitting here today because somebody prayed you in. Amen. The pleasures of serving him, the pain of not serving him. You're going to make a choice today. So I'm going to walk away. I'm going to walk away. I remember, you've heard me say this. I remember one time, boys, I went to my dad. And I was tired. And here's what I said. I quit. You've heard me say this. You know what he said, Addie? Okay. I said, no, you didn't understand what I just told you. I quit. I set my Bibles down. So I'm done. I'm not serving God no more. I'm not going to church no more. I quit. He said, okay. And I thought, well, what pastor you are? You might as well holler, amen. You're thinking the same thing right now. And I stood up and I turned around and started to walk off. And here's what he said. If you can quit, quit. I said, okay. I walked out the glass room that was his office in the house that we lived in at that time. I sat down in a 1994 Ford Probe. I put it in reverse. I let out of the clutch. Some of y'all don't even know what that means. I let out of the clutch. I put it in first gear and eased off that hill where they lived at. And I got to the bottom of the driveway. And that's as far as I could make it. I pushed the clutch back in. I put it in reverse. I back up the hill. I don't even know if he remembers this. I walked back in the door and grabbed my daddy and I said, I just can't quit. God's been too good. I just can't quit. He's blessed me too much. You need to make up your mind today. What are you going to do? If you're going to quit, well, quit. If all you're doing is running your mouth to get attention, quit if you're going to quit. Or serve God. I can promise you it's a whole lot better on this side than it is out yonder.